Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. The Texans' new uniforms unveiled yesterday, I would say, to largely positive reviews. And I think you brought up a really good point earlier, Seth, which is the leaks. The leaks. You bring up a lot of good points. The leaks that happened, the leak, the first uniform leak of the model from the private reveal, you know, just kind of standing there in an empty warehouse, and then the helmet reveal, which looked to be a possible felony, somebody removing it from a box in what looked to be a shipping facility somewhere.
Right.
Those two leaks, which I thought the Texans did a really good job of responding to. I think one of the other like silver linings of the leaks was that I thought Cal McNair came across really well in the response to both of those, you know, kind of defiant and like, hey, you're going to leak this. Well, we're going to do even better. And he the picture of him with the dog, he threw up the picture of Nico and Tank wearing the white uniforms. But I think you're right. Like the initial response to the actual leaks, to the picture of the model and the helmet being pulled out of a box, were so negative or at best mixed. I think it was largely negative to the model wearing the uniform. And I would say it was mixed to the helmet. I think there were some positive reviews of the helmet, but that maybe for a lot of people it set the bar at a certain level. I just know that the reaction has been very, very positive to those uniforms, and I think the way they executed it was really well done.
I think, honestly, one of the leaks was that graphic that had the four uniforms laid out, and the bull theme, the Battle Red, was completely wrong when it came to the helmet and everything. And that one, I mean, somebody had actually forwarded that to me that I thought knew what they were talking about. So I don't know if that person was full of crap or what. That was ugly. That was just flat out ugly. So some of the leaks were inaccurate and ugly.
Yeah.
So that ended up being really, really, the Battle Red was way beyond my expectations. Because the leak that I had seen, not just what didn't have the right face mask color, didn't have the right bull. Like the bull horns, the way they'd been presented in some of the fake leaks looked cheesy as hell.
Yes.
The bull horns on the jersey and on the helmet for the Battle Red now look badass.
Yeah.
Like they don't even, you only look at it as a horn because you know that it's a horn, the one on the jersey. Those look really, really cool.
Yeah. If there was one guess out there that I thought people were the furthest off on, because I'd seen the uniforms, and so when I saw the quote unquote leaks of the full set of four uniforms, and I looked at those and I'm like, okay, some of these are, as I'm watching them, and I'm not replying to any of it because I didn't, we're not allowed to, but I'm looking at them and I'm going, okay, some of these are pretty close. You know, some of them, there was one, the Color Rush one that people were speculating had the outline of the Houston skyline on the sleeve. That was not the case, although it looked cool on the fake ones that were out there. But the one thing that the leaks were most off on, like the furthest off on, was the Battle Red helmet. You're right, Seth. The horn, the one that I saw that had white horns on a red helmet, I'm like, this isn't even close. It's way better than. And I wanted to say, like, no, it's way cooler than what's being leaked out there right now.
But I think that ended up working to their benefit.
I agree.
I would say if I found out that the Texans had run like a false flag operation or something to try to make it look worse than they were actually going to be, it lowered the expectations to such that when you saw the videos were really well produced.
Really well.
I thought the same level of cinematography as that Broncos one, and yet without the annoyingly long buildup that Broncos one had.
Man.
And the volume of the videos, too. They did like at least six really, really high quality videos.
Yeah, it was really good. The McNairs were in studio yesterday with John and Landry. We'll be sprinkling a lot of this in throughout the show. But as long as we're talking about the uniforms themselves, here were the McNairs talking about the return of the deep steel blue.
So Nike didn't make the deep steel blue color that we used to have. Mm-hmm. And so it went to a lighter navy. This color actually is the same as the Yankees navy.
Okay.
It's that deep,
deep
steel blue.
Dark blue, yep. Which is where we started.
Yeah. So this is, and Seth, you know this, you were on those teams that had those blue jerseys that when the league flipped over to Nike.
Yeah.
How is a color not available?
I don't know. That's where it annoyed me. I'm like, wait a second. You're a partner with Elite. You can't come up with a dye
to color. Yeah.
Custom made jersey.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of trash ass operation are you running over there?
You got something in your hand.
Asia?
What do you got?
Well, this is my original jersey.
Okay.
They had sent these out to a bunch of players. Like they were cleaning house from the inventory, so they had all this stuff. So they sent out to a lot of former Texans players. Some of their game-worn jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
So this is from the first season. It's got the inaugural patch on it.
It's cool.
And I feel like this isn't as deep blue as the deep blue that Cal said.
I'm with you. Yeah.
With,
that looks more like the one we've become accustomed to the last several years.
Right, yeah. Right. So I think this is, I don't know. We'll have to get some clarification on that. It feels like this is the closest to an actual deep steel blue that we've actually had on the jerseys.
Yeah.
But I might, maybe in year two or three, they switched it.
Yeah. 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 I like that there's three distinctly different helmets. You know, the league just passed a rule where you can use a third helmet now, starting in 2025, unless you're changing uniforms this year. So the Texans are allowed to use all three of these helmets. I'm bummed out. They can only use the alternative uniforms, the Battle Red and the Color Rush, three times during the season, because those are my two favorites. But I like that they've got three helmets, and they're distinctly different. You've got the traditional helmet with the bull logo on the side, each side of the helmet. You've got the Battle Red one, which, as you just said, has a badass horns. It's interesting, too, if you look at the logo for the Texans, the bull head is kind of tilted a little bit.
Yeah.
On the regular logo, I'm told if you look straight on at the Battle Red helmet, that the horns are actually kind of tilted at the same angles as the logo. So they're
not
straight back. They're kind of tilted a little bit, which is kind of a cool little Easter egg. And then you got the Color Rush helmet with the H-Town Blue H on the side, which not nearly as many people have been complaining about in the last 24 hours as we're complaining about it after the leak.
Right. Once you see it with the rest of the uniform, it looks 400 times better.
Yeah.
And that old English H, I don't know, man. That grew on me very, very quickly. I didn't know for sure, having just seen the video, the leaked video, but it's after seeing the Color Rush uniform. Yeah, that would be the tattoo I'd get, I think, is that H.
That H.
If I were to get a Texans tattoo.
It came down to, because I was in the meeting where the voting was done on that. Like they polled the fan council on the H's. I don't know if they ultimately used that as the reason for choosing the H, but it was down to that and an H that looked kind of like it came out of the same alphabet group as the Miami Marlins baseball cap. You know, a more modern looking H, kind of tilted and very, very curvy and boxy, you know, in different spots. And from what I heard, the one that wound up on the helmet won in a landslide.
Really?
Yeah, the old English H was very, very popular.
It's tricky, you know, when you try to I mean, it can go south really quickly when you rely on committees or input too heavily. It's tricky because you got to let your creative types do what your creative types are going to do. But a lot of times, when you get too many people, what was the old saying?
Cooks in the kitchen?
No, a camel is a horse designed by committee. It's like, yeah, too many.
It is. I forgot about that.
It's when you're like, no, you know what we really need is, that looks pretty good, but I'd really like is a hump. Would you like one hump or two? Well, we couldn't figure it out, so some will have one and some will have two humps.
I've heard that saying before. I don't know why it hit different coming on the heels of the uniform release. It just did.
This is how I felt, was that I don't usually get excited about stuff like this, but I think what it feels most like is, like, when you're a kid, I was never super into clothes and everything, but when you get your school clothes at the beginning of the year and you know you look good, like, this is the best I'm going to look all year long, is when I got, my mom gave me, like, I don't know how much it was, like $75 back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I can go buy two pairs of jeans and three polo shirts or whatever. Like, I look damn it, I look good. Yeah. It's all downhill from here,
right,
but I look good.
I'm gonna look,
on the first day of school.
I'm going to look fresh for a week.
Yes,
it's going to be the greatest week of the year. Have you looked at Clint Sterner's poll that he put up yesterday about what uniform is the favorite?
I haven't looked at his poll in a while.
Okay.
So let me see. How's it doing?
Well, it's closed. I think he only
sleep deprivation with children and everything.
I think he only put it up for as long as, like, he put it up for a few hours so they would have the final results during their show, it would appear.
Okay.
But of the four, he says, which is your favorite? The home blues, the away whites. He's talking about the jerseys here.
Yeah.
Red alternative, and then the color rush. Which do you think is the most popular among the 1,000 people that voted in Clint Sterner's poll? And by the way, this mirrors a lot of the other polls that I saw out there, too. So
the red alternative.
Yep. Nearly half the votes.
Now, were they calling it red alternative instead of battle red, or are they just using it?
They weren't calling it battle red. I'm blanking on what they were calling it last night.
But why aren't they calling it battle? Are they phasing out the name battle red?
That I don't know. That's a good question. That is a question that I will put on my list of questions to follow up on.
Is this a politically correct thing?
I don't.
They want to, don't want any connections to actual battles or anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm going to start calling it the Battle of San Jacinto Red.
Yes.
I'm going to go in the opposite direction. Oh, you want to phase out battle?
Right.
Because of the associations with war? Battle of San Jacinto Red, damn it.
Yep, exactly. We're going to pick a different battle and assign it to each of the four uniforms. 47.6% say the red alternative. 31.3% say the color rush. So you're talking nearly 80% that are down with the two, like, you know, newer, glitzier kind of uniforms as opposed to the traditional. The traditional, the away whites, 11.6%, and then the home blues, 9.4%, as far as favorite jerseys go.
So, and they'll be able to wear the color rush and the color formerly known as battle red, just a total of three. Those two configurations, a total of three times.
Total of three times. Or some permutation of them. You know, like last year against the, I think it was the Cardinals, if you recall, they did the color rush uniforms with the battle red helmet. Remember that game?
Yeah.
That was cool looking. And I think that was a big question that we were getting from a lot of people, too, because the release yesterday for the Texans had white jersey on blue pants, blue jersey on white pants, red head to toe, color rush head to toe. And a lot of people were going, so is this it? Like, these are just the only four combinations? They can't do white on white or blue on blue anymore? And it's like, no. They can. And, in fact, they released pictures after the initial uniform release of, they had like Christian Harris in a white jersey, white pant combination that just looked awesome. They had Tank Dell in the red jersey with the white pants, and that picture was just so clean. It was so good. So yeah, no, there's all sorts of permutations that they can do with this stuff.
The color rush, there was I'm trying to figure out the Space City uniforms or the City Connect uniforms for the Astros have grown on me. I didn't like them at first. And I wonder if now that I like the City Connect uniforms, I feel like that helped me like the Color Rush uniforms that much more.
Yeah.
Because there's it's darker, but it's monochromatic.
Yep.
The base color, it looks more monochromatic. Obviously, it's got multiple colors
sure.
on it. But I think, the one disappointment I saw, or one of the disappointments I saw, that was that people thought that there was going to be the Houston skyline on one of them. I have a hard time with that because I really feel like if you're going to do the skyline for Houston, you might as well do three or four various skylines. Because you've got the Galleria, you've got downtown, you've got Memorial City.
Yeah.
You could go ahead and hit the Woodlands while you're at
Dude.
It. Just, we've got so many. Oh, the Medical Center. We need the Medical Center skyline.
Today
in there.
We are wearing the Greenspoint Color Rush uniforms.
Yeah.
We're feeling it today, man. We got to bring the heat today. We're going
to the Greenway Plaza.
Greenway Plaza. Yes. Yes. That's what I'm
lobbying for. I want the Greenway Plaza Color Rush uniforms next year.
That is funny. I was thinking about this yesterday, especially on the heels of Hannah McNair kind of hitting the red button on Amy Adams' trunk on with the guys on In the Loop. We'll get to that a little later on this hour. If you missed it, we played it earlier. I was thinking yesterday, okay, they can wear the color or they can wear the alternative uniforms, either the red or the Color Rush, for three games this coming season, and I'm assuming they'll all be home games where they do this. But they have worn the Color Rush on the road before, too. Deshaun Watson's first win ever as Houston Texans quarterback, if I'm not mistaken, was at Cincinnati wearing Color Rush uniforms. So it's not just a home thing, or potentially. I mean, this is 6 years ago. I think, Seth, after yesterday, it is a stone-cold lock. The home Titans game will be the Color Rush with the H-Town blue in it. Or is that too petty? Is that, you know, is that... Are we giving the Titans... Are we punching down by wearing those uniforms for the Titans game?
Sean, you try to punch down on the Titans, you might damn near get your hand stuck in bedrock. That's how low you have to go.
Right.
And yet I'm willing to take that chance. No. When they go low, we go lower.
Okay.
That's the motto.
That's the motto.
Okay? When they go low, we go lower.
Okay.
And it don't get no lower than the elevation of Houston, Texas.
That's right.
And during a rainstorm.
That's right.
So, yeah, we're going to – no. Yeah, we wear the – that'll definitely be during the Titans game.
Yeah, I'd bet on that. That's the one I'd bet on. I think if I had to guess, the eight home games real quick are the three division games, Baltimore, Chicago, Detroit, Buffalo, Miami. I got to think Buffalo is a good chance of an alternate uniform night or day, considering the whole Stephon Diggs angle. Yeah, and Buffalo's considered to be a good football team.
I'm looking at the Texans website just to be sure. They are still using Battle Red the Battle Red and Liberty White are the bull uniforms. But then they just say alternate red at these other times. So I don't know exactly what the whole deal is there. Yeah,
I think the usage of the other alternative uniforms. Well, I think Buffalo would be a strong one to use it for because I think that's probably. Even without Stephon Diggs, like on paper, them and Detroit are probably the two best teams on the schedule this year.
Yeah.
And Baltimore as well. I think it may just depend on like the schedule itself. Like if it's a primetime game, then that would be a cool night to do the alternative uniforms, regardless of opponent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would say wait until it and do it for the primetime games.
Yeah.
Make it extra special. Now, I don't know from a marketing standpoint, do they figure, well, look, the primetime game has a glitz already there that maybe sometimes you do the battle red on a noon game to add a little bit of extra zing to the more boring start time.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Look, this is my hope is that the Texans this season, they made a big step towards this last year, but you know, the zing in the stadium is the team and you don't have to worry about what uniform they're wearing. You know what I mean? Like it's just the allure is that you're rooting for one of the four or five best teams in the NFL, you know?
Right, yeah, I get that, but I'm trying to think from a marketing person's standpoint.
To try to move jerseys and stuff like that?
Yeah. You're going to have some you're already going to have a whole lot of built-in enthusiasm and perhaps people have been drinking all day for some of those primetime games.
Yeah.
Where to get people going at noon and maybe buy more apparel and everything. Having a little something extra special there for the noon game, it might even out the sales more.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Text message from a killjoy. It's really hilarious how much we're talking about the colors of the uniforms, but it won't even matter if they suck. It won't even matter if they're awesome. Sir... We are enjoying these uniforms. Basically, saying uniforms don't matter.
Here's the thing. I'm going to let this guy in on a little secret.
Yeah.
If you don't know or realize this yet already. We're talking about sports.
Right.
None of it actually matters, okay? The fact that you're listening to a sports radio show where we're talking about, on any given day, oh, no, let's get to the serious talk. Oh, yeah, about the people chasing the leather ball wearing tights of various colors. Yeah, sorry. That's the super serious, earth-shattering stuff that really matters. Get over yourself. You're too serious, damn it.
Is punching down...
We're all going to be dead in a few decades anyway. Enjoy life a little, you son of a bitch.
Is punching down on the Titans called the Andre Johnson? Sir, you can shut it down for the day. You're not going to send a better text to anybody than the one you just sent to Payne and Pendergast. Is punching down on the Titans... called the Andre. Andre was there last night. Andre presented the McNairs with gigantic diamond pendants from the former player. I believe it was from the former players. So you may be getting a bill for that, Seth, at some point. I don't know. the random invoice shows up for 1/215th of a huge diamond bill. But yeah, they gave Hannah one that was a huge H, and they gave Cal one that was a big Texans like diamond encrusted helmet. It was really, really cool.
We have an app for the former players where we get text messages, like group texts and everything.
Yeah.
And but I never I'm as you know how I am with communications. I don't keep up to speed with stuff. I got a backlog on that.
Oh, do you?
I think I could have gone to that party both as either a former player or a media member last night.
Oh man. It's you. You'd have.
That was a big step for me when they introduced D'Amico Ryans as the head coach. Remember, I had to make that choice between sitting with the former players in the press conference or sitting with the media. And it felt like I was kind of walking into the lunchroom. And, you know, when the nerdy kid all of a sudden gets taken in by the cool kids.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit like that. I was like, I'm going to forsake my nerdy friends and go sit with the cool kids at the former
That's
place.
How we all felt, too. I just sat there like Seth's
Sean
one.
Sean was like, Seth, I've got a seat for you.
Yeah.
And Whitney Mercer was like, hey, Seth, who's that? And I'm like, I don't know. I've never seen him
before. Yeah,
like
Seth shunned
me. I sat next to Whitney.
I was all ready to play chess with Seth at the press conference. I had the chess.
Seth, we got to get ready for the D&D game.
I had my wizard outfit on. I had my D&D books all stacked up. But Seth, I have leftover hit points. Where are you going? Where are you going, Seth? I have a wand, a sword in one hand, and a wizard hat. Seth's going with his cool friends, guys. We need a new Seth.
the texter does bring up a good point that it won't matter if they're awesome and it won't matter if they suck, I suppose. But it is, look, man, it's the Texans also don't have a first-round pick tomorrow.
Okay? Yeah.
As of yet.
God bless uniforms.
yeah.
All right, so Cal and Hannah. Cal and Hannah were in studio yesterday.
Guess I'll get you an anniversary present. I mean, you're just like, we're going to stay married whether I get you one or not. They're like, here you go. Throw some flowers at your wife.
Picturing all
I don't know. Does it really matter?
Picturing all the media nerds. Me, that Seth worked with me. Landry, Jason Bristol, Matt Musil. We're all just watching Seth sidle over to the former players while we're there with our flood pants and our nerd glasses.
I had to be careful because remember I had said that if it didn't work out, I was so confident that D'Amico Ryans would be an awesome NFL head coach that I would quit my job if it didn't work out.
Right.
We're still in the window where it still could potentially not work out, but I'm still confident enough. I could have just let that die and never say anything about it again, but I'm still pretty confident that I'm not going to have to quit my job.
Yeah. I have a hard time envisioning a scenario where D'Amico Ryans is not a good football coach. Like, it would take, like, it would take some serious substance abuse probably for that
well,
to happen.
Well, it would, yeah, and I don't see that happening.
No.
So, I wonder if, though, no, but it wasn't, part of it was, though, that it had to work out with the Texans.
Yeah.
So, there's different things that can happen.
That's true.
It's not the coach's fault.
Gary
know?
Kubiak was a good coach who just, it went sideways and he wins the Super Bowl 2 years later. You know, like,
can I tell you something real quick that I had forgotten the timeline on when it talks about a good coach and things going sideways?
Yes.
The other day, I was listening to Brett Coleman and Daniel Jeremiah on their podcast, and Brett Coleman has a really successful YouTube channel, but he used to work for NFL Films, and Daniel Jeremiah was kind of just walking down memory lane, and he remembered a time when they were doing a broadcast, and they had a depth chart set up, like, with the magnets on a board and everything, and Daniel Jeremiah couldn't remember who, but he said there was a linebacker that was slotted in the wrong spot. And Brett Coleman, who was a young kid at the time, very politely said, you know, actually, I think he's actually an outside linebacker here. And Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks were really happy because they saved them from looking like idiots. And so I texted them both afterwards after I listened to this, and I was like, I think they were talking about Brooks Reed. I thought that it was Sam Montgomery. Because immediately, remember, Mike and I had Les Miles on right after the draft.
Yeah.
And Les Miles was kind of surprised that the Texans were looking at him as an outside linebacker. He, you know, and he was like, well, certainly the Texans know a lot more about their defense than I do. I'm just surprised that Sam Montgomery is going to be an outside linebacker. I wouldn't have expected that. And we thought, like, really didn't think anything of it. Fast forward to, like, 8 weeks later, Sam Montgomery moves to defensive end. Gary Kubiak explains that he just liked to eat. And then I forgot. So that's 2013.
Yeah.
Then I forgot that same season was when the KC3 got cut from the team for smoking a blunt at the Kansas City Hotel, allegedly.
Sir. Yep.
And Sam Montgomery, a third-round pick, got cut in his rookie year.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That hardly ever happens, and that's like the 19th craziest thing that happened in 2013.
That season, yeah. That
doesn't
even hit.
That was such a weird year, man.
It doesn't even hit the top 10 that season, yeah. So you're right. Like, the overall point is, like, good coaches can get swept up in just a morass of bad luck or bad fortune, and some culpability for them as well, you know. But, yeah. It's a great point. The McNairs were on with John and Landry yesterday on In the Loop. Really good interview. If you haven't listened to it yet, listen to the whole thing. We're sprinkling elements of it in here throughout the show. Landry asked Cal and Hannah yesterday about, you know, kind of what it's been like here this last year, kind of coming out of the mud of the last few seasons.
Well, there's been a lot of change from last year, and sometimes you just have to stay tuned to see what'll happen. So it's been a fun trip. And when we started the season, we really didn't know how we were going to stack up with other teams and to see our team evolve like they did and play like they did and sort of confirm all of our hard work was a lot of fun to see. But you know what that means this year?
What's that?
Absolutely nothing. Our guys got to stack it up and start over again.
Okay, D'Amico.
He's Hard-O Cal.
You got to.
You've been hanging around Nick
with that Big Nick energy.
Big Nick energy, the Hard-O D'Amico, all that.
Dude, Hannah was on one yesterday. Big Nick energy. It was funny. I was in the control room for the whole interview. A bunch of us were. And as soon as Cal said that, you know what that means? Absolutely nothing. I just looked around. I'm like, he got Casario'd. He got the old Casario-botomy.
I'll tell you honestly, I feel like I think Landry's got a different bar for Hard-O than I do.
Yeah.
Because I think that part of it is that it is when you're the people that are actually in charge of the wins and losses, it's kind of embarrassing when people start heaping praise on you. Well, your contemporaries or the people that are at your same level on other teams have actually won football games.
Yeah.
You know, like you got destroyed by the Ravens in the playoffs, but you're sitting here getting all these flowers for having a good off season or for, hey, look at the new uniforms. It's a little embarrassing. So I think sometimes almost as a reminder to yourself and certainly to your players, you got to always be reminding yourself, man, we really haven't done anything at all. Like, it's all cool that we're headed in the right direction, but this stuff goes south super fast.
You got to remember what got you there too, man, that hard work. And I think this team is a hardworking team. I do think this team's going to be pretty good at channeling all the, you know, being able to put blinders on to all the excitement that we all have on the outside and that not affecting their performance. I think DeMeco is the perfect coach for that kind of thing. He's also the perfect coach to bring in personalities like Stephon Diggs. They asked Cal and Hannah about that yesterday, too. Do you feel like you've got a building now that can withstand bringing in maybe some strong personalities like Stephon Diggs?
Well, I think we're in a good place, you know, to do that, and I think it's reflective, and he's an extremely talented player, and I can't wait to, you know, get him here and see what he's going to contribute to the team.
But it goes back to, you know, Cal said, you know, last year doesn't matter, but it does, right? Mm-hmm. All of that has set the table for a culture for, you know, different types of personalities to come in. So it does matter. I think that that all did matter. And I think it will contribute to hopefully more success this year.
She's 100% right. Like this, I think there's a lot of things that happened this offseason that, you know, without last season, you know, if last season is just your garden variety improvement for a 3-win team, you know, they go from 3 wins to 6 wins. I don't think Danielle Hunter's coming here. You know, I don't know that a Stephon Diggs. I don't know if they're in a spot where they feel like, oh, you know what, we need a finishing touch here, Stephon Diggs. Well, that'll get us to 8-9 next year. You know,
especially I think for Danielle Hunter too. I mean, the allure of a fully guaranteed contract is a big one. Don't get me wrong, but in terms of at his age, financially, the smarter move, just strictly financially speaking, might have been to get as much guaranteed money as possible by way of a 3 or 4 or 5 year deal somewhere else. Yeah, I think that the scales were probably tipped, you know, between his hometown connection, and then the fact that they are a team on the rise that matters. And I think also, I like to maybe argue or push back against like what I just described is a perfectly understandable mentality by Nick Caserio. I think that if you're going to worry more about process than results, because you want to be sure, like, you're always focused on the process being right and everything, the Texans are simply doing a lot more things right now than they possibly could have 2 or 3 years ago. There were so many things that are so far out of whack with the Texans that it was almost impossible to know where you could start, like, building an actual platform.
Yeah.
And now it's much different than that on a day-by-day basis.
And I think yesterday was one culmination of that. It's one that doesn't impact the on-field record, but just if they had tried to do what they did yesterday, the uniform unveil and then the big party afterwards, Seth, if they had tried to do that 2 years ago, I think people might have laughed at them if they tried to do it 2 years ago. Now you're doing it amidst an environment of winning, and it's viewed as one of the greatest things the franchise has ever done. You know, like they are charting forth this new course now, this new era in new uniforms. Like, you really do feel the kind of the newness of everything.
You know what? I think that part especially is true, because I think it's always kind of like, okay, you roll out new uniforms a couple years ago, and it's lipstick on a pig in a lot of regards. You know.
Yep.
I think, kind of along that same line of thinking when it comes to, okay, even if the results aren't there, you start doing things the right way and differently. 2 years ago, when Lovie Smith was the coach and there was still a lot of turmoil and dysfunction and what have you, they did have that draft party and that at the pavilion, which ended up being really, really cool.
Yes.
Like that, I feel like that as an organization, that doesn't have anything to do with the football people or anything. I feel like some of the changes they had started to make felt more like an organization that knew what the hell they were doing. You know, they were stretching out from what they had traditionally done. The people that showed up were pretty damn enthusiastic and everything, and that was without, like, DeMeco being there or anything else.
I'm glad you said that. Bingo. I was thinking about that on the way in today, is that we saw players there modeling the uniforms last night. Andre Johnson's there. The owners are there. Greg Grissom is there. All the people on the business side who are involved. Doug Vosick, who was the catalyst behind a lot of this stuff with the new uniforms and the unveiling. They were all there last night. There was neither hide nor hair of Nick Caserio nor DeMeco Ryans or anybody on the football ops side. And I think that's a great thing, because when they were going through that tough phase, this is where I felt a little bad for Lovie Smith. Like, Lovie Smith was actually one of the few marketable things that team had in terms of his his personality and the, you know, the, you know, kind of the gray beard cool uncle or grandfather vibe that he had. Remember, they had Lovey was getting his beard trimmed, and they had other media members and some fans getting their beards and hair trimmed. They set up a barber chair somewhere, you know, like, and the
cool t-shirt with the silhouette of the beard.
This is not me throwing shade at any of that. I'm not making fun of it at all. That's where the Texans were 2 years ago. And you're a market. You got to market your team, and you're handed what you're handed, and you try to do your best at marketing the team. And that was sadly among the most marketable things they had at that point. If you're looking for a sign among the many that this franchise has now normalized and is operating like a good, solid, aspiring to be a Super Bowl champion franchise, know that all this stuff they've been doing, there's been no bigger marketing effort this team has made maybe in its history than these new uniforms, and nobody on the football ops side was anywhere near any of it. I mean, the players were obviously, but I'm talking about management. They're working on the draft right now. You know what I mean? Like I just feel really good about it, man. You know, just the whole thing.
Yeah, and it, like, kind of to give a serious answer to the person earlier who had said that, you know, it's ridiculous to be getting excited about jerseys or what have you. Like, I think that is a barometer for whether the organization knows what it's doing or not. It was a couple years ago before D'Amico was even hired, where at least on the organizational side, they started doing things like a modern NFL franchise.
Yes.
And it didn't feel all weird, you know, like outside the box mumbo jumbo thinking of Jack Easterby type of stuff. It was just like, no, we're going to do things that are proven, things that work. We're going to hire smart people to handle certain things instead of having one overlord of weirdness over everything. Like, it felt like more of a normal organization in a good way.
Yep, absolutely. A few people weighing in on the text page. I think Mr. Killjoy is the one who voted for that Bills trainer for MVP last year. That's good.
Let's think about what really matters, everybody.
Dude, there are some funny texts about you going and hanging out with your cool friends at D'Amico's press conference. Meltzer would push up his glasses and say, that guy is unbearable. Sean was sitting in the crack between the benches with one cheek on each side, just happy to have a seat at lunch. Not that I know anything from my experience or anything. LOL. Oh, that is funny. That's from a texter. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Wednesday. Johnny Harris is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour at about 8:25 or so. John Harris will jump on. It's the day before the draft, so we got to talk some draft. In fact, let's do that in the next segment. Caleb Williams is going to go number one in the draft, but it feels like more and more all the evaluations I've been waiting for this offseason, they're all popping up here at the last minute. Two comps on Caleb Williams. One, a football player I don't think you want to be compared to. The other, a pop culture figure, which I've never heard a comparison like this for a quarterback before. That is next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Really intelligent guy. Came across as a really good teammate. Easy to talk to, down to earth. You know, we've talked through this process about, you know, the whole Hollywood thing. He's all ball, wants to work, wants to get better, wants to win as a team. That's the number one thing for him, on top of being successful. So, You know, I think the biggest thing is, like, does he fit in our culture and what we're trying to do? And all signs were that he does. So that was positive. We know what we're going to do, but everyone's going to have to wait till Thursday to go there.
How's Ryan Poles, the GM for the Chicago Bears? In case you're wondering, like, Sean, whose voice are you playing right there? Ryan Poles, and he's talking about Caleb Williams, the Hollywood thing, and they're comfortable with him. Ryan Poles still saying, yeah, wait and see what we're going to do on Thursday. They're going to take Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick. And as tends to happen, Seth, late in the process here, you know, everybody's starting to weigh in. And I don't know if maybe it's some people trying to create drama, like they might not take Caleb Williams. But there's been some interesting stuff that I've read and heard over the last couple of days about Caleb Williams. I will say this. This time last year, there was a school of thought out there, and we know this here acutely because the Texans were in line to draft one of the top quarterbacks, which they eventually ended up doing. But there were plenty of people out there saying, hey, man, just don't draft Bryce Young. Don't draft C.J. Stroud. Don't draft Anthony Richardson. They all have question marks. Bryce's size, C.J.'s S2 score, Anthony Richardson's injury proneness and his, you know, lack of time that he's actually played in college, all that stuff, accuracy. Just wait till next year and draft Caleb Williams, man. Like, he's as if there's five teams that could go draft Caleb Williams next year.
Right. Just wait. Right. Yeah. Just wait. That's all you got to do is draft them next year. It's as simple as that.
He, through the course of going 7-5 this year, a season in which he individually was still great, but the team was 7-5 at USC, along with the normal course of when you have this much time to examine something super close. You don't discover new awesome things about it. You discover all the flaws in it. I think that's where we are right now with this process. So now Caleb Williams, it feels like less of the generational prospect that people were talking about this time last year. Fair to say?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. He's the slam dunk consensus number one overall pick.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, like Jaden Daniels, I know a lot of people have talked about how maybe they actually have Jaden Daniels higher than Caleb Williams or what have you, which is nice chatter. But I think most people still have Caleb Williams as 1A. And if they have Jaden Daniels up there, it's like a 1B, but still below Caleb Williams. The biggest thing about Caleb Williams really hasn't been about his performance on the field as much as just people questioning whether he's a little bit of an odd duck or just doesn't have the right body language or whatever it might be.
Yeah. The comp that would scare me a little bit, this is from The Athletic. The Athletic interviewed a bunch of anonymous coaches. You know we love the anonymous coaches. We like them a lot more on this show than they like them in the afternoon. Boy, I think Clint Sterner wants to find every one of these anonymous scouts and coaches and beat them up with his own bare hands. He hates the anonymous guys.
He does.
We love the anonymous guys on here.
The anonymous scouts, the asterisks you always have to have is that these guys are A, not actually in a position to make the decision, so it's a lot easier to have crazy wacky ideas, and B, you never wonder if maybe they're throwing something out there to try to get somebody to fall to them.
Yep.
So that part, some of the guys who say the most damaging stuff might actually like the player the most.
Yes. Offensive assistant number one in this article says he looks like he got bored and wanted to make wild plays. He can do anything. My only reservation is the times he gets in trouble. He makes too much out of plays past 15 yards on the scramble, doesn't understand that the ball takes a lot longer to get there, and that's when the defenders can get in on it. He goes on to say he gives off a Russell Wilson vibe with his lack of self-awareness. I'm kind of above everybody, quote. Not bad, just a little where you want to see him be a more regular guy. Are you going to be able to coach him, or is he going to be more worried about his marketing team, end quote. This is where I wonder if Caleb Williams is truly like lacking in self-awareness, different than other quarterbacks who've come into the league because he's got a marketing team, he's got this and that, or is he the first of what the new wave of quarterback is going to be because of NIL, you know?
Right. You could look at a lot of the stuff that Russell Wilson does, or the stuff that makes him just like so awkward and weird in so many ways, and yet I could, if you look at it on the surface level and on paper and don't actually know that he's just a little weird personality wise too, you might look at that in the age of NIL and say, yeah, that's exactly what you need these days, is a guy that knows how to separate the business side from the football side and everything else. So it gets real dicey when you start trying to diagnose people's personalities this time of year. when everything's just so artificial and everybody's trying to dig into every nook and cranny.
Yeah. There's one coach, a quarterback coach, says, I like Caleb the player, but the locker room part of it concerns me. I don't know him from a can of paint, but what I've heard and what I've seen from watching interviews, he's going to have to understand the difference in where he's at and how he's been treated to being the quarterback in an NFL locker room. He talks about the system as well. It's Kyler and Baker have come from that system, but he's not them in terms of being able to bring guys with him. Caleb Williams, this is where I read something like this, and I'm just so glad that C.J. Stroud is the Texans quarterback, because he couldn't stop talking when he first got here about having to earn everybody's respect, you know, and having realizing that he's got a lot of veterans in that locker room. You know?
Yeah, I was trying to figure out a comp for who this might be other than Russell Wilson, just from a personality standpoint. If like some of the concerns about his personality are true or what have you, the guy that first came to mind was Geno Smith. Just because, remember, even Dana Holgerson kid kind of made a comment about Geno Smith that made it sound like he wasn't that great of a leader the year after Geno Smith had left. Geno Smith had that altercation with the player in the locker room. There were just certain red flags about Geno Smith, who was not nearly the same caliber prospect as Caleb Williams,
no.
You know, physically. But that was a hang up and a hold up, I think, for Geno Smith in a lot of ways. And it seems like he had to kind of grow his way and mature his way out of some of that.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder to mature your way out of that when you're the number one overall pick for a franchise like the Chicago Bears.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. Because Geno did drop into the second. I mean, he's not Caleb Williams or wasn't that level of, but he was a first. He was thought to be a first rounder in a draft that didn't have many good quarterbacks at all in it.
And there were questions about his leadership.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm torn with Caleb because you hear it, but you hear this all the time. Where a guy that supposedly doesn't have a good personality, they'll say, yeah, no, his teammates love him. Remember Connor Cook was that same way.
From Michigan State.
Oh, no,
not a captain.
There were questions about whether he was, whether his teammates actually liked him. And then you get guys talking on the record saying, oh, yes, we loved Connor Cook. And then you find out later, it turns out he doesn't have the classic quarterback personality.
Here's another one. This was an interesting comp. This is from a writer named Dave Fleming who said he taught. Now, this is his third hand as it gets, but I just found it interesting. Here was another comp for Caleb Williams. Dave Fleming, football writer, who talked to a scout.
I reached out to a guy who's really well-connected, a former scout, really well-connected across the NFL with GMs and front offices, and I was blown away by his reaction.
What did the scout tell you that you can report?
I hated it. Hated it. He would scare the shit out of me if I was working for a team. Raw emotion is great, but Caleb's thing, that was ridiculous to me. That threw up major red flags. You just lost a game in the middle of your fucking season, and it was like your third loss in the Pac-12, and you went hugging on mommy and crying in mommy's arms, and it just seems really freaking weak and nuts. And I will tell you, he scares the out of a lot of NFL teams too. The book on him is he's just kind of a weird kid. One GM told me it's like if Prince played quarterback. Look, I don't know him from Adam. I do not know him. But to me, that looked weak as shit, really fragile.
That's the scout I've been waiting for. It took till,
kinda,
what is today? April 24th? I've been waiting for this guy.
I feel like if he had the physical ability, Prince would have been an awesome quarterback.
Dude.
I don't know. What's wrong with Prince? What's wrong with Prince wearing a big frilly, but playing for the Ravens with the purple, obviously. What's wrong with Prince wearing a Ravens uniform, but with big lacy frilly cuffs underneath, a big billowy pirate shirt underneath?
Size might be an issue, I would say.
If he had the physical ability, I said. If he was a bigger dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. It'd be like if Prince was my quarterback. I kind of like the idea of Prince as my quarterback.
Prince, pretty much super successful.
Very good basketball player.
Yeah, he was a good basketball player, wasn't he?
According to Charlie Murphy.
Yeah, that's right. He was a good basketball player. I forgot about that. All right, so hey.
Shirts versus blouses.
Skins and blouses.
Skins and blouses, that's right. So in that scenario, when Charlie Murphy said skins or blouses, what did Prince do? little tear came to his eye, right? But what did he do then? He torched him.
Yeah. Oh,
He flat out, he balled out. I feel like Caleb Williams, if you make fun of him crying on his mommy, maybe it just ignites him. Maybe that's what it sets him off in a good way.
Yeah. And to be clear, I'm not out on Caleb Williams. I've never really bought into the fact that he's just this slam dunk. Mostly because all the guys we've talked about as being slam dunks the last 10 years don't become slam dunks. You know, it's an exact science.
It's hard to separate Caleb Williams from the situation he was in, which is they had just a horrendous, horrendous defense.
Right.
And that when you accuse him of playing hero ball, there were times where he kind of had to play hero ball.
That's right.
I think from an arm talent perspective, from an improvisational ability, he plays in structure way more than I think people gave him credit for. If you got the offensive line was so bad this year that I think they forget that what he looked like when he had a good offensive line, that some of the stuff he did this year was more of a product of having a bad offensive line. So I don't know. I'm way more high on him than you are.
Yeah.
I don't, the personality stuff though, I think, at the very least, you have to acknowledge that NFL people think it's an issue.
Yeah.
Like some NFL some people. Do. Now, are they? Is it Ryan Poles? I don't think so.
Oh, no. So. Yeah, I don't think so either. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We're going to do the 8 at 8 in the next segment. So 8 stories. Get your day moving. And then John Harris is going to join us in the following segment. And we'll get some last-minute intel here and get Johnny's opinions on where the Texans – what does he expect the Texans to do when 42 and 59 roll around? Or will they even be there at 42 and 59 picks overall? We'll see. We'll talk to John Harris in about 25 minutes or so.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.